يوم تجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا.
On the day when the earth and the mountains shall tremble, and the mountains shall be as if they are disbanding heaps of sand. This is a reminder of the day when these conceited people will face what is depicted in the verse. The earth and the mountains will reel and shake in such a manner that even mountains will become like disbanding heaps of sand. What to speak of the houses and palaces of the affluent.
إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْزًا وَبِيلًا.
To you people we have sent forth a messenger, a witness upon you, just as we sent a messenger to the Pharaoh. Then the Pharaoh disobeyed this messenger, so we seized him in a dreadful manner.
After giving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the necessary instructions, in these verses the Quraysh are admonished that just as the Almighty had sent a messenger to the Pharaoh, he has sent a messenger to them. The purpose of sending a messenger to them was to inform them of God's directives and the ways to please him, the reward they will earn in this world and in the hereafter if they follow these directives, and the fate they will meet if they show disobedience.
The implication is that they must fully comprehend the status and position of the person they are rejecting and humiliating, and must know the consequences of such an attitude. He is not merely a person who asks people to accept his message, or a mere preacher whose message can be treated in any way. In fact, the Almighty has sent him to them as a witness to the truth. Thus, through him a judgment shall be passed regarding what is right and what is wrong. This judgment will be the one which was passed between Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Pharaoh. Just as the Pharaoh was seized by the Almighty for disobeying the Prophet and seized in a manner that he could not find refuge anywhere, similarly they too will be seized by him and seized in a manner that no one will be able to free them from his clasp.
I have fully explained the meanings of Shahidan alaikum under the following verse of Surah Baqarah. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا.
Or, so that you be witness to the truth before the people, and the Rasul be such a witness before you. Surah number 2, verse 143. Readers, of course, can look up the tafsir of this verse.
فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا.
So how then will you, if you also deny, save yourself from the day which shall make the children old? The implication of this verse is that if the Quraysh are not being seized, then they should not think that they will never be seized. Even if this does not take place in this world, the next world is certain to come, and they should contemplate its horrific nature. If they deny the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how will they save themselves from the day which will make the children old? This is actually an expression of the intensity and all-embracing nature of something horrific. We often say, that sorrow has made me grow old. It is recorded in certain narratives that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Surah Hud and surahs similar to it have made me grow old. Arab poets have used this idiom in various styles and is so common that parallels need not be cited. Zamakhshari has furnished some examples which can be relied upon.
As-sama'u munfatirun bihi kana wa'aduhu maf'oola.
The sky is ripping apart with its burden, and the promise of God is certain to be fulfilled. The day of judgment should not be regarded as far-fetched. The sky is heavily laden with its burden. It might tear apart and the day of judgment appear from within it while they are still in their state of ignorance and indifference. This topic is discussed in the following verse of Surah Araf in the following words.
سَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ.
The heavens and the earth are burdened with it. It will come upon you suddenly. Surah number 7, verse 187. In other words, the hereafter does not require any evidence, though the time of its advent is known to no one except the Almighty. Its signs are as evident in the heavens and the earth as the pregnancy of a lady in its last stage. No one can tell when she will deliver. However, everyone who sees her knows that she will deliver. In a similar manner, the signs of the day of judgment are obvious, and the sky is about to cleave asunder with their burden. It can come any time. Unfortunate are people who are indifferent to it merely because its exact time of arrival is not known to them.
Inna hadhihi tazkira, faman shaa attakhadha ila rabbihi sabila.
This is a reminder. So, whoever wants, he can take the path of his Lord. The demonstrative pronoun hadhihi, or this, refers to those verses of the Quran which have been conveyed to the Quraysh to remind them of the hereafter. In other words, before sending punishment, it was essential that they be warned and admonished. So the Almighty, by sending His Prophet, left the Quraysh with no excuse, because the truth was communicated to them in its ultimate form. It was now the responsibility of the people. He who wanted could adopt the path leading to his Lord, and in this manner become worthy of His pleasure and mercy, and he who wanted could remain in error and also see his fate. The Almighty has no concern for him.
Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min allazina ma'ak. Wallahu yuqaddiru al-layla wan-nahar. 'Alima an lan tuhsuhu fataba 'alaykum faqra'u ma tayassara min al-Qur'an. 'Alima an sayakunu minkum marda وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
Your Lord indeed knows that you stand about two-thirds of the night, or half, or one-third of it, and so does a group among your companions. And God alone appoints the day and night in due measure. He knew that He would not be able to follow this, so He turned towards you mercifully. Recite then from this Quran as much as you are able to. He knows that there are among you who will be sick, and others who will be traveling to seek the bounty of God, and others who will be fighting for the cause of God. Recite then from this as much as is possible for you, and diligently adhere to the prayer, and pay zakah, and lend to God a befitting loan. And whatever good you send forth for yourselves, you shall find it with God better than before, and greater in reward. And keep seeking God's forgiveness. Indeed, God is most forgiving, ever merciful. This is the last verse of this surah. It is evident from its subject that it was revealed in Medina. However, it relates to the directive given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the tahajjud prayer right at the beginning of the surah. For this reason, it was placed at the end of this surah so that one is able to understand the relationship between the initial and final directives given in this regard. Several examples of this kind have been seen in earlier surahs, and this is a very obvious corroboration of the fact that verses in a surah are placed in harmony with the meaning they signify, and that all this arrangement and placement was done under the guidance of God and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the sentence, "Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thulutha," the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is lauded for the fact that he was very befittingly fulfilling the directive of standing in prayer by night, which the Almighty knows full well. The implication is that these endeavors of his are in the knowledge of God, and when this is so, they will not go waste. He will be greatly rewarded for them. After expressing praise for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the next part of the verse, وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ, expresses praise for the companions who in their fervor to follow him adopted the tahajjud prayer as a mandatory practice of their own accord. This directive was specifically related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is evident from its wording. However, the companions would leap to every deed they would see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do. Although the real requirement of faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to follow him in each and every step he takes, there is a world of difference between power of endurance of a prophet and that of common people. For this reason, the Almighty altered this directive for common Muslims. The next section of the verse describes this change. The reason, of course, being that its burden not exceed their power of endurance. The next section of the verse reads,
وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ عَلِمَ أَلَّنْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ.
It says that it is the Almighty who sets the measure of night and day. It is only He who knows their requirements and demands, and the various aspects with regard to which they affect life. It is also He alone who knows which of these are needed by man and the circumstances and difficulties through which he has to pass. In the light of His knowledge, His verdict is that the companions will not be able to stand up in prayer for half the night, or one-third, or two-thirds of the night. Hence, they should stand up in prayer to read the Quran as much as they are able to. I have already explained the meaning of the expression Fataba alaykum in an earlier surah. When the verb taba comes with the preposition ala, it means to turn to someone graciously. Though the words Faqra'u ma tayassara min al-Qur'an are general in style, yet since they are mentioned with relation to standing in prayer by night, they refer to reading the Qur'an in the tahajjud prayer. Although reciting the Qur'an in itself is an act that entails many rewards, however, reading it in a measured tone in the tahajjud prayer brings the blessings for which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been so emphatically asked to adopt this practice. It is evident from this discussion that this relief was given to common Muslims because they would not have been able to abide by this taxing directive. As far as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was concerned, he abided by this directive till his very last breath. For a common Muslim, this prayer is still an optional act which earns great reward, and the extent of time in which he should stand in this prayer has been left to his vigor and zeal. Consider now the next part of the verse.
عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ.
These words refer to every journey which is undertaken for a noble and higher cause, whether it is for seeking knowledge or for offering the Hajj or for doing business. For trade journeys, this expression is used many times in the Quran. The words وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا informs us of how to compensate for not being able to pray the tahajjud. If people are not able to fully benefit from the blessings of this prayer, they should be vigilant in the five prayers as much as possible and spend their money for the cause of God, which includes spending it for the supremacy of the word of God and for emergency needs related to religion and state. The expression وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا can refer to all types of generous spending for the cause of God. However, when it is mentioned with zakah, it refers to the spending which is done for the requirements of war or for some emergency need. The words وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا urge the believers to spend in the way of God. They are told that this spending will not be for others. It will in fact benefit their own selves. It will accumulate in their own accounts with God, and they will find it in a very beneficial form when they go to their Lord. The implication is that this spending is not an unprofitable undertaking. It is the most profitable of trades. The words, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ refer to the fact that besides diligently doing what is mentioned above, believers should continue to seek forgiveness from their Lord for their sins and blemishes and hope that He will forgive them. He is the most forgiving and ever merciful. With the grace of God, I come to the end of this surah's tafsir. I pray that He forgive my sins and make hearts receptive to the truth. Wallahu huwal muwaffiq lis-sawab. Rahmanabad, 7th November 1978 AD, 5th of Zulhajj, 1398 AH.